WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Life.
And it is Tuesday, October the 14th, 2014. Time again for Afternoon News with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here on the program today and tomorrow. We're talking about the largest individual school district in our state. We're talking IPS. And even though their enrollment has been flat, 30,800, just 11 students less than last school year, IPS serves just 20% of the 153,000 public school students in this city and county. But regardless of whether you live in the IPS school district or not, people still care about what happens in IPS, and everybody wants to know, what is our schools going to do? And that's why we're devoting today and tomorrow's programs to having you have the opportunity. First, we started with the townships, warming everybody up about the issues our township schools are facing. Now we get to IPS. And in the House, we'll have candidates from the IPS district races. And to give you an overview, as we gave the overview for all of the other township districts, IPS is a majority-minority district, 52.2% of the district students are African American. That's the second highest percentage of black students of any Marion County school district. Hispanics comprise 21.9% of the district. That's the highest Hispanic percentage of any district in the city and county. Whites are 20.4% of IPS students. 82% of IPS students are eligible for free and reduced lunch, the highest percentage of any school district in the city. And slightly over two-thirds, 68.4% of IPS students graduated on time from high school, and a little more than half of IPS students, 51.6%, passed both math and English language arts I-STEP this past school year. So today we'll have District 5 in our second hour. In our first hour, District 3 is in the House. Incumbent Samantha Adair White is facing former IPS board member Kelly Bentley and newcomer James Turner. District 3 is basically the north side of the IPS district, including these neighborhoods: Butler Tarkington, Meridian Kessler, Glendale area, The Meadows, Broad Ripple, even Sobro, Mapleton Fall Creek, some of the Devon area, as well. And so in the House are the three candidates, and you can get in touch with the conversation three ways. Either send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or send me an email at praiseindy.com, or old-fashioned telephone at 239-1310, 239-1310. And as we do with all of the candidates that we have, whether they're school board or whether they're running for any state or local office, the first question is always, why are you running? And we begin with Brother James Turner. Mr. Turner, welcome. Why are you running?
I'm running because I felt the community was not being represented the right way. Because the voices of the community that truly need to be heard, the families and the students, they don't usually show up to the community meetings. And I wanted to be a voice. Two, I wanted to concentrate on strengthening IPS and not on combining IPS with other school corporations. I seen a great need for us to put programs back in place that identify disengaged students at the third grade level, because over the summer I had to bury three students that I used to work with for IPS, and I know if we would have caught them early, and they wouldn't slip through the cracks. So that's why I'm running.
Kelly Bentley, why are you running?
Thanks, Amos. I'm running because I love my city. I want it to be a place where people want to live. And in order for that to happen, we need strong, healthy neighborhoods, and strong, healthy neighborhoods have great schools at them. And it's unfortunate that in too many neighborhoods in IPS, there aren't strong schools in those neighborhoods. And so I want to get back on the board, to move the district forward. I'm passionate that education is the great equalizer. I've been a strong public school advocate for 20 plus years. And I have over a decade of experience serving on the IPS school board, and I want to get back on there and move the district forward.
Samantha Adair White, you are the incumbent. Why are you running again?
Thank you, Amos. The reason why I'm running is because it's our children, our responsibility. When I started this journey a while ago, I said that I wanted to make a difference. And so far, being on the board for 4 years, I have made a difference. We are moving forward. We have made great strides. We got a lot of more things to do. But I feel with me being on the board, we have did a lot of things that wasn't done prior to me. holding my seat as for District 3. I love our kids. I wish them nothing but the best. I want the best for them. And change is coming. We have changed the district. We're moving forward. So I think I'm the candidate for this position.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is with the candidates with IPS District 3. People kind of know Samantha Dare White, incumbent for 4 years on the school board. People know Kelly Bentley, from her service on the IPS school board for several years. But James Turner, people are hearing your voice for the first time. What kind of background and experience would you bring to the school board if you're elected?
First of all, I would like to say I am IPS. I was one of the students, K through 12. I went to School 60, Short Ridge, and Broad Ripple. Secondly, I bring to the table a vast amount of experience. I worked as a special needs assistant at Tech, a graduation coach at Arlington, a dean at Marshall. My grassroots, my hands-on ability, I know what really goes on day-to-day in schools. So that's what makes me probably the best candidate, and I know how to help those kids.
Let me bring to the three of you a couple of issues that have come up on this program in the last couple of weeks. It's been 2 weeks now. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow that a young man was caught at John Marshall High School with a loaded gun in a backpack along with a machete, a hatchet, some vodka, some dice, and other stuff. I thought it had been the policy of IPS, going back to Samantha when you were on the board, Kelly, when you were on the board, that if somebody was on an IPS property and arrested with a dangerous weapon, not only would the school community be notified, parents and grandparents, but also the general public. Not the details, but just, hey, somebody was caught with a weapon, we dealt with it, we move on. If you all are elected or reelected, should IPS go back to the policy that if somebody is arrested in one of our facility, you know, one of our schools with a dangerous weapon, the public should be notified, Kelly?
I'm all for transparency, so I'm not sure why that policy was changed. I know that a lot of school districts in central Indiana do not report. Mm-hmm. It would be great if everyone did. Because, you know, unfortunately, when IPS was the only one reporting,
right,
you know, it made us look like we were the only one that had, you know, some challenges, and that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer transparency no matter what, and, you know, it's a small town, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
And if something like that happens at John Marshall and you don't send out, a release about it, people are going to find out.
They'll call me.
Yeah. And they're going to be angry about it. And so I think it's important to just be on top of these things on the front end.
Samantha, this was not, as I understand, it was never a board policy that this thing was announced. It was just something that I think PR and Dr. White signed on. Is this something that if you're reelected, the board really needs to deal with next year?
Absolutely. This was a discussion we had with our superintendent during evaluation time. We brought things to him concerning this issue. I can't go into detail about it, but this is one of the things that we're going to look at the upcoming year to make sure that we are making sure that our parents, our community, our stakeholders know what is going on in our district at all times. It was a sad day to find that out that happened at John Marshall, but like I said, things are changing. We're moving forward, and we look forward to making sure that we let our parents and stakeholders and the community know that our schools are safe.
James Turner.
Yes, I think we not only have a duty, it's a responsibility to let the parents know and the community know. That's been a problem that we need to work on once I get on the board, is making sure that the parents are heavily involved with all situations. Make sure, like Ms. Bentley said, that it's transparency there. I agree with that. I think the parents and the community should have been notified.
239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is another issue that has come up the last few weeks. 22% of the students in IPS are Hispanic. Yet IPS has no Hispanic administrators. The only Hispanic administrator they had left, I don't know whether it was a money thing or a respect thing, went out to Pike. If elected, let me start with Samantha Dare White. What will you do to change this serious disparity? Because I've been around long enough to remember, and Kelly might have remembered it when we were both young, when IPS was getting more and more African-American students, and the only administrator, African-American administrators in IPS were the people who were the principal over Crispus Attucks. What, if you're reelected, what can the board do to make sure that administrators reflect the new and reality and diversity of IPS?
Well, we're looking at a lot of things with our superintendent. Our superintendent is a very fair guy. He looks for the best candidate. He doesn't care who you are, where you come from, your race, your gender, or whatever. He wants the best person for that position. We are trying to do the best that we can with what we have. We have several positions that's still open that we're having a hard time trying to fill. We're trying to make sure that we put the best people in these positions. So I think that's something that we're going to look at, that we're looking at, but, we want the best person for the job. I don't care what color they are, as long as they do what they're supposed to do.
James?
My thinking is those schools are community schools, first and foremost. I'm talking of Washington and Northwest. I think there needs to be some Hispanic representation or administration there because they have a high population. We just got to be real. I think that needs to happen. Just like when I was in school, like you were referring to, Amos, I was at a school district that was mainly black, but we had a lot of white administrators that really couldn't relate. So I think if I get on the board, I want to be part of that decision because I think there should be Hispanic administrators in those areas because that represents their community.
Kelly?
I think we can probably all agree that we'd like to see more minorities in administrative positions in IPS. I think the challenge is finding really good people that you know, that we can interview and hire. This has been a challenge for the district for a long time. Fewer and fewer people, and especially in minorities, are going into education. And so, and all the districts are competing for those same people. IPS hasn't given anybody a raise in 6 years. I mean, they gave a bonus this year. That's a challenge. We are not going to be able to retain, you know, recruit and retain the best. If we can't pay people more money, we've got to become more competitive with our salaries and, you know, figuring out how we can reallocate resources so we can put more money into salaries. But I think it's important to be able to throw the net wide, and try to recruit not just locally, but out of state, to see if we can find, you know, high quality minority, administrators for our schools.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is we're with the candidates in IPS District 3. Samantha Adair White, Kelly Bentley, James Turner. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to ask about IPS's best school. And is there a way we can clone IPS's best school? We'll ask about that. Yeah, I might ask about some money. I'm not gasping. Everybody else is listening might want to ask about that, but it's your opportunity to find out because you may have better questions than I do. You probably do. Your opportunity to find out. These are the people at the back of the ballot, but the back of the ballot is just as important, if not more important, than the front part of your ballot on November the 4th, or if you're voting early, because they deal with our kids, they deal with education, they deal with the future. These are the candidates for the Indianapolis Public School Board, the IPS School Board District 3, District 5 in our second hour. Tomorrow, the at-large candidates. That's going to be... Drew is waiting for that one, because that's an eclectic group. It's After News with Amos after these.
Hello, this is Pastor Michael K. Jones, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. On Thursday's Afternoons with Amos in our 2 p.m. hour, Republican State Senator Mike Delf will be here live. That's it. Oh, there's some people down the city county building that just fell over when they heard me say that. And then on Friday, we'll hear about this new organization, Black Church, White Church, working together called Project Mosaic, I believe is what it's called. They'll be here with us on Friday, 239-1310, 239-1310, with the IPS candidates in District 3, James Turner, Kelly Bentley, Samantha Adair White, and you're not an official candidate for the Indianapolis Public Schools until Larry gets to ask you a question at 239-1310. Hi, Larry.
Hey, look, buddy.
How are you?
These people on there, Amos, their job, their office entails one thing, as bill collectors, right? After they vote to fit a superintendent in, their job is to collect money to make sure that they can pay for his projects. They've been disingenuous on down through the years. Not one of them has stated that claim or even told what they would do to collect the money for IPS. And the one guy there, he does not have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to be cruel or anything, but I would just advise people that the school board is the only board. These commissioners that you're interviewing today, Amos, they can defund the district. It's been done before. They can defund the district as they're trying to do now, defund it enough so that they won't have the appropriate funds to operate it and then close it. And that's what they may be trying to do with these Stanford Children candidates. And my question is anybody...
I was wondering where the question was, Larry.
Here it comes.
Okay.
So you know how it is when Frank Sinatra sang a song. He always done a little talking before he got into the meat.
Okay, well, come on with
it. I want to know, are any of their advertisement or any association with Stanford Children or any other bootleg school operation in this town, do they have ties to any of these bootleg situations? Are they being paid by them? So they can defund... The IPS.
All right, Larry. Let me let the candidates. Are any of you endorsed by Stand for Children?
No,
I am.
That's James Turner.
James Turner is not.
Okay.
No.
And that Samantha is not. Kelly, you are. Kelly, on Stand, are they doing things on your behalf that are not authorized by you without your knowledge?
Yes, they are.
Does that make you a little uncomfortable? I know you have always been your own person. You have always stood up for what you believed in, even if people disagreed with you in the community. We've had disagreements over the years. But does it make you uncomfortable that somebody is out there representing you, representing what you stand for, and you have no control over how they portray you or picture you? They could portray you one way that is not you. Are you concerned about that? Because you've always been your own person.
I mean, it does concern me, Amos, because I'm a control freak. And so, you know, because I've received a few of the mailings in the mail, and I'm happy for the support. I'm a fan of Stanford Children. I don't see them in a negative light. I think that you know, they've been focusing on parent organizing and creating that stand up parent university. I think that's a great thing. We need more of that. I think Lily and Nina Mason Pulliam are giving them some additional funding so they can expand that program to other schools. And I think that's important. We need to figure out ways to engage more families. And I'm a huge supporter of that. And I'm proud to have their endorsement. As far as the, you know, the unauthorized expenses, it does make me uncomfortable. I would love as a country for us to tackle campaign finance reform, even if we do it in the state of Indiana, but we can't seem to get anybody, you know, interested in going down that route. I mean, it's not been an issue in school board elections until 2 years ago and this time. I think that, you know, hopefully we'll see some campaign finance reform at some point.
Samantha and James, is the money issue, the issue not of people giving money directly to a candidate, but third parties coming in and just on their own, saying we support a candidate and that candidate doesn't even have a clue what they're doing. Is that the key issue in this campaign?
Well, first of all, Amos, I feel like I don't understand how the candidate don't have a clue. I'm not going to sit here and play around. They got to have a clue. They know what's going on. But it's okay. It's okay because I'm not running against the money. She's running her candidate off their money. So it's okay. I don't have a problem with it. money don't buy a vote. Mm-hmm. So long as my people get out there and do what they supposed to do and what we supposed to do as a team, we'll be okay. And if not, hey, I'll see you in 4 years.
James?
I question the influence that the money comes from and how it's being used. That's my issue. Is it political privatization? Why are they so interested in giving her that much money? Mm-hmm. So
Can I just jump in there right now? I mean, I've you know, been on the board for over a decade. I've been an advocate for the district for over 20 years. And, you know, I'm not going to apologize for having support from the community, from individuals, and from organizations like STAND. Mm-hmm. And, I've never, voted in the interests of special interests or self-interest ever. And I don't plan on starting that now. I've got a track record.
But you really have seen mailers that dropped at your house and you're going, what is this?
Well, I mean, no, I mean, I was happy to see them. I mean, they're, you know, but,
See, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I would tell them if I can't look at if I can't look at how you're representing me, then take your money and go take it to California somewhere because you have a brand, Kelly, whether people agree with the issues or not. You're Kelly Bentley, and for somebody unknown, and you don't, like you said before, that you don't have a clue how they're representing your brand is crazy to me.
Well, I mean,
which is probably why I don't run for anything.
Yeah, they've not done anything that upsets me. I mean, if you know, But I mean, I like to have that. I would prefer to have that control, and I'm going to be dropping my own mailers that have my own message on them, and you know, so
paid for and
authorized by.
Let me go to an academic subject off of the money, and everybody knows that IPS's best school is Seidner up at Kessler and Keystone, and I think sometimes people have the perception that it's a virtually all white school, but that is not the case. It is a majority-minority school. 53% of the students are on free and reduced lunch. And my question to the three of you is, if this school with minority and low and working class income kids can succeed, and they knock it out of the charts every time, I don't know what their grade is, that's going to be announced tomorrow, but every time there's a grade report, Seidner knocks it out of the park. They have a better batting average than Peyton Manning. Why can't we replicate Seidner into all these other areas of IPS where we've got high percentages of free and reduced lunch, high percentages of single parent families, and minorities? James, why can't we do that? Or if you're elected, how do we do that?
I think we can. Excuse me. I think that needs to be the route that we take. Instead of starting new experimental schools and new experimental things, I think we should replicate what already works. And I think we can do that. It wouldn't be an issue. It's just about putting the manpower in place and getting it done. So that's my sentiment exactly. Let's just replicate what we know already works.
Samantha, I know you can't reveal what the board says in the back room, but is this a frustration of being a board member that one, people think Seidner doesn't have any minorities in it, and that's not the case. It is a very racially diverse school, and why can't we duplicate and replicate what Seidner does all throughout the district?
I agree, Amos. When I first came onto the board, this was a hot topic, and we're finally getting to the point now that we're able to start looking at data to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. Seidner is our gifted and talented school. It's the best of the best. I'll put it up against anyone. And we are in the process of doing things like that. I mean, I guess that's why I have a problem with everybody wanting to jump on the bandwagon now and want to be a part of us moving forward, because we're moving forward. We've been trying to get things together and duplicate schools and things like that. But I guess, I don't know. I guess if you see something going well, I guess you want to be a part of it.
239-13. And Kelly Bentley, that's in your neck of the woods. It is a point of pride I know that you've had for a number of years. Why can't we replicate that?
Well, you know, Amos, unlike the other, you know, specialized programs in IPS, you know, Seidner is a gifted program. Mm-hmm. It is for kids that are at the, you know, at the top 1% or 2%. And what I love about it is that it goes against everything people want to believe about IPS, that there are no smart minorities, that mm-hmm. poor kids cannot be, gifted academically, because it's a wonderful program. It's racially and socioeconomically diverse, but it is specifically geared to serve kids that are at the very highest, I'm not suggesting you couldn't replicate it, but it's not a program for all kids, and it was never intended to be.
But are there qualities in that school, even though it's 350 of the best out of the 30,000 students in IPS? Are there systems and mechanisms and teaching methods in Seidner that could be used at Diggs at 42, that could be used at 53?
Yeah. We certainly need to look at that. And, you know, we can look at, I mean, there's a lot of high-quality programs we need to look at and figure out how we can replicate. I mean, School 90, which is a neighborhood school that has done exceptionally well. And then we have our other magnet programs. And so I think we constantly have to look at ways to replicate, the kinds of, classroom, activities that are going on and the teaching. But in the case of Seidner, though, it's just very difficult because it is there to serve a very, very specialized population.
All right. The audience is awakened now. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is your opportunity, to ask better questions than I have of the candidates. Let me go to Lisa. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I have two questions. How can you all, with the firing of all the teachers last year, or maybe they put in their notice, I don't know how that went, how can you all ensure that the teachers that you have coming on now, or that may have been hired, have the best interest of the students, and not just looking for paychecks? I mean, do you do background? Do you find out how they were before, how long they stayed at their previous school? You know, to find out if they're in it for the long haul or if they're not. Number two, by IPS being majority-minority, for those white candidates, how can we trust you?
Those are two great questions. Samantha Dare White, how do you make sure that these teachers are in it for the long haul, that they care about the kids, if they're not here for a paycheck or here a minute, then they're going to flee to the townships after 2 or 3 years?
Thank you so much for your questions. I look at it like this. I feel like we hired the superintendent to come in and run our school district. We have one employee, which is the superintendent, and we have two employees. We have a administrative assistant and the superintendent. But we're not a board, or I can speak for myself, I'm not a board to micromanage anyone. So if the superintendent recommend that we hire one of the teachers or whatever, I have to take his word. I have to take what his people have come up with and their background check, their work history, and I have to, take his word and then hold him accountable if the teachers doesn't, work out. So that's how we as a board, I'm only one of seven, so my voice only speaks for one. So that's the only way that we can move forward, is by making sure that we hold our superintendent accountable for making good choices.
James Turner.
I'm going to answer the question real honestly. To my knowledge, we don't have a system in place that would determine whether they were in it for the long haul or what their meaning really was, what they really were here for. So my thinking is, yeah, we do have to leave it up to the superintendent, but it's up to the board, if I was elected, to make sure that that process is put in place so we can understand why our teachers are here.
Kelly.
I have to agree with Commissioner Adair White. The board's role is not to micromanage hiring decisions by the superintendent. I mean, the board's role is to create a vision for the district with input from all stakeholders and to create policies to support that vision. Mm-hmm. Part of those policies might be, you know, policies related to human resources and how the district goes about, you know, recruiting and retaining great people. And, but, you know, the board hires the superintendent. The superintendent, it's a large corporation. He's managing, it's a big business, and that's what he's managing. And we have, you know, the board has to trust that he's going to hire the right people to work in human resources, and you know, create a plan to recruit and retain the best people.
Let me go to Micah at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're fine.
Hi.
What's up?
Hey.
I'm doing well. I guess I'm not sure if it's a question or a statement. I guess it'd be a little bit of both. My son is currently an IPS student. We've went to 43. He's now Northwest. One, do you guys have any plans on trying to change it back from this, they get a break every 3 weeks in the middle of the 9 weeks? Because saying that a student can't focus after a 3 month summer break and claiming that giving them breaks is going to help them focus throughout the year, I don't see it as such. I see my son going back to school, and he doesn't remember what he learned 2 weeks ago. And it's not, I don't think that's for the students. I think that's for the teachers. And then also, we have teachers now that don't even have lesson plans. So how are they getting into the system, and how are they maintaining and staying in the system? In 43, we had a teacher who every student in the seventh grade was failing his class with the exception of three, and they didn't fire him till the last 3 weeks of the last 9 weeks of the school year. And it's just, I feel like there's no accountability for these teachers, bad teachers. And for the students, there's no rewards. They're not going on field trips. They're not doing anything extra, and they are being taught to the test. And my son was told verbatim, if any of you guys want to try anything, well, now you will be expelled. Why are bad students staying throughout the year so these schools can pull their numbers on these I-STEP tests? Why don't you let the bad students go to alternative schools so the good students have a better chance of learning, as opposed to the teachers babysitting all day and trying to get the class under control?
Girl, you asked a whole lot of great questions.
I come from a college prep school out of Birmingham, and my son came from there to here, and he went from all A's for 4 years straight to now he's bringing home F's. It's just, I don't understand. He's tested in Kilvan's classes, and he's still, the teachers, there's no same page, same book. I feel like it's chaos.
All right, let me start with, on Micah's questions with James Turner.
First of all, I would like to say I think we are putting a system in place to get rid of teachers like that sooner based on data. Two, it's up to the school to report that to our ed center and let us know what's going on.
But is it also the responsibility of the parent? In other words, if the parent sees a teacher is not using lesson plans, should that parent start putting it in writing first to the teacher, then to the principal, and then then to the superintendent, if all else fails, to their elected school board member?
Okay, now let me speak for on behalf of that parent. The parents do notify the proper people. Now, I don't think all the time action is taken in a proper manner, because it's usually about protecting the adult in the situation instead of protecting the student. So I think parents do voice their opinion. I just think sometimes it falls on deaf ears.
The other thing, Samantha Dare White and Kelly Bentley, implicit in Micah's question is she's questioning the intercession system. And she feels it is not helping, the child. You both were there, correct me if I'm wrong, when that system was introduced and adopted. Is it time to reevaluate it?
Absolutely. I'm the only one out of seven that voted against it. This is something that we're going to have to look at. We're looking at the new dress code now. We're changing. Things are changing.
We're changing the dress code again.
Yes, we are. Things are changing, and we have to keep up with the time. So, change, like I said, change is coming. We're making different decisions. We're moving in a different direction with school intercession. So we'll see. I mean, it's on the table for discussion. So.
Kelly?
I think there's a lot of research out there that supports the, you know, the year-round calendar. It's the same number of days. They just spread it out differently. And, you know, I would not support changing it. I think we have enough, sort of instability as it is. And every parent that I've talked to about it loves it. I mean, I haven't heard anybody say anything negative. I mean, I think it's a challenge for working families. And, you know, my understanding is part of the intercession, and maybe this isn't happening, is, you know, to help students who might be, you know, behind.
That's what I thought. I don't even think they do that. The other question, the other thing in Micah's question, the caller's question, was the unprepared teacher, or in the mind of the parent, the unprepared teacher. What should parents do? And, you know, is besides document it, move up the chain of command, and then if not, all else fails, go to a school board meeting.
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, I think that's the only alternative. But I mean, but long term, we have to look at school leadership. And, you know, I'm a strong supporter of giving principals and teachers more building level decision making and holding them accountable. I mean, when Gene White was superintendent, he made a comment once that 68% of the teachers in IPS were ineffective. And when I asked him, well, how many teachers are on performance improvement plans? It was less than 20 in the entire district. And I said, well, how many principals is that? Like two. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, basically you're telling me you have two principals that are doing their job in the entire district. So you can't say on the one hand that you have these ineffective teachers and not on the other hand address the issue of leadership in the buildings and giving those leaders, you know, the flexibility to make the hiring decisions and holding them accountable.
Let me go to
strength is in numbers, I think, too, to answer that parent. If your child is not the only child having that problem, I think parents should group up and go to a meeting, because strength is in numbers. And once you put that out before the board in a group, I think you'll be heard then.
Let me go to Bill right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, Amos.
Hi.
I'm hearing what the goal of the, one of the goals of the school board is, and I think also the goal is to work with the superintendent for the good and the best for the children. But I have a question, just a general question, true or false. Answer and then comment why. In the chain of command, the superintendent is at the top and the school board is right under he or she. And one of the goals of the school board is to rubber stamp all of the policies, even though the superintendent has the authority to run it like a business. Their job is to rubber stamp all of his policies and ways of mode of operation.
Now both of the members who have sat on the school board getting ready to come out, come through that microphone at you, Bill. Kelly Bentley, you kind of said, I think that is a perception that is out in the community. What's the reality?
Well, the reality is the school board hires the superintendent and the school board holds the superintendent accountable. You know, the school board is the governing body for the school district, and the superintendent works for the school board. And it's important for the school board to, you know, to hold the superintendent accountable. And it's important to, you know, to engage in discussions and debates about various issues. And sometimes you might vote something down that the superintendent wants to recommend.
When you were on the board, there were times in the public meeting where you and the Superintendent White, y'all were having strong
we had our days.
You had your days. Samantha Dare White.
Which we always respected each other, but yeah, we did have our days.
Is it fair to say there were similar circumstances, both with Superintendent White, with the interim superintendent, and with Dr. Farabee?
Yes.
Is it fair also, without violating confidences, that there are even more intense discussions among board members in the back room before the meeting starts, or when there's things over about personnel or things that are in the legitimate executive session?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for your question, but a lot of people don't realize that we hire the superintendent. The superintendent don't hire us. We hire him. And we have to let him do his job. We cannot micromanage him. and expect for him to do everything we want him to do. We're only one of seven, and I think people get a little confused when they call and they want me to do something or request that I do something for them or whatever the case may be. I'm only one of seven. You have to have four as the majority. If we do not let our superintendent do his job, then we don't know which way we're going.
But is it fair to say there's a yearly evaluation of the superintendent?
Absolutely.
And the other realistic, if a superintendent loses four votes on the board, that's a bad
thing. And he doesn't want, and most superintendent doesn't want even to see a 4-3 split. That's a horrible feeling for a superintendent to start feeling that his board is split already to a 4-3. So most superintendents are going to work with their school board to make the district the best school district that they can have.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is We'll Take a Break. We'll come back with our remaining moments with the candidates from IPS District 3, Samantha Adair White, Kelly Bentley, and James Turner. In our second hour, the candidates for District 4, Lanier Eccles and Michael Brown. And tomorrow, the at-large candidates. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.
This is Dr. Ian Smith from Celebrity Fit Club and the 50 Million Pound Challenge. And you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light. Indie source for inspiration and praise.
Back to the phones and Tia right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Tia. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Amos. I'm calling because I just came on probably like 5 or 6 minutes ago, and I just heard that y'all was talking to IPS. I don't really know the whole topic, but I just know that every time I hear anything about IPS, I call in because this is like my second time calling in. I have a student that attends IPS. And my thing is I'm just trying to figure out what are we going to do and how can we make the kids that have these IEPs, how can we put them in better situations? How can we see that they're actually achieving, that they just don't have a title of an IEP until they graduate? What if a parent don't want their child to stay under that title forever? And then it just seemed like every time I call in or every time I deal with IPS, I just get sent in circles dealing with the same people. Nobody wants to lead me to somebody that's going to really rectify the problems that I have. When I called in the last time, Amos, like a month ago, you told me you would see to it that somebody returned my car. You took my name down.
Who was the guest that was here that day?
I can't remember. That was a month and a half ago. All I know is we was talking about, they was literally kind of talking about IUPs. At that time, it was a male on there. I don't know what
okay.
it was about.
I'm running short of time. These are candidates that are running for the IPS school board in District 3, which is basically the north side of the IPS district. But I'm going to use your question and quickly run everybody around. How important is it that IPS really takes the issue of special education seriously and works with parents to make sure that when these IEPs, the individual education plans, are set up, that they're set up in such a way that the goal is to educate the child, and the goal should be eventually for that child to graduate on time if possible, and if not, in that the soonest opportunity. Let me start quickly with James Turner.
Thanks for your question, Tia. This is something that weighs on me heavy. Our IEP kids are the ones that need to take advantage of the wraparound services that we have. And I think as a district, we need to do a little better job of explaining that to parents, that there are a lot of services out there that we could use for your youth. But I think just keep being proactive about your child and getting the right answers to your questions.
Kelly? Because the law says that the district has to educate that child, and that includes making sure they graduate on time.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I would love to see individual education plans for all kids. I don't see them as a negative. Mm-hmm. I see them as a way to provide the services that a student needs. I think that the district probably needs to do a better job educating parents and, about what an individual education plan is and isn't. It's a way to make sure that all students, get the services that they need. We do have students that need additional services in the district. Mm-hmm. Some students have an IEP that are not on a track to graduate.
Based on their disability.
Absolutely. I had a student a child of mine that had an IEP, and I was happy to have it because I felt like it put everybody on the same page about what that student needed to be successful.
Samantha, in the caller's call, there was the implication that being on an IEP is a negative, that it's like the mark of Cain or something, when in reality the law is designed that is supposed to open doors and help.
Absolutely. IEP is they are a great thing to have for your children. And you can hold the school and the school district accountable for what is on your IEP. I don't want you to look at it as being a negative issue. I do want your name and your number and a place or email address that I can get back in touch with you because
we kind of lost her, and I hope she would call back so we can get that information to
because
you.
Because I do want to help you. I don't want you to think that we're not in the business to service you. We want to make sure that you understand why your child received this IEP and that we're doing what's in the best interest of your kid.
Let me jump in.
No, hold on. Let me.
I didn't get a chance to finish my point at all.
I'm at a time crunch. I want to try to get to Marvin right quick. Marvin, you got less than a minute.
Marvin, I'm going to talk quickly. I wanted to. Kelly Bentley probably already said this. You know, I know she served well on the IPS board, and but in my mind, I think you know we're moving forward, and so I guess I'm trying to figure out why people should put her back on when I think she spent 12 years. I think Samantha has done a great job. I like Mr. Turner. I've been following him on Facebook. But and that was just my question because I didn't know if there's a special reason, Ms. Bentley, you're coming back or because I think you serve your time and I like to keep fresh faces, you know, continuing to be on the board. And that's no disrespect. I just really want to know why people should vote to put you back on when you've already been on, I guess. So that's my question.
All right. Kelly, you want to answer?
I think I answered that before. I'm passionate about the importance of public education in my city. I grew up here. My family all went through IPS. My niece and nephew are in the district. And I want to be on the board to help move the district forward.
James Turner, quickly, I think you wanted to answer going back on the IEP. 30 seconds to answer that and then come right behind that with our standard closing question. If people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
First, let me answer the question.
Let me jump 30 seconds.
Yeah. I think the question was misunderstood about the IEP. The lady was looking for help, mm-hmm. On how to get her IEP put into perspective. Mm-hmm. We need to explain it better to the parents. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to say and let them know it's not negative. It was put in place to actually really help your child. So that's what I wanted to get across. IP are not negative. It just gives you more support for your student.
And if people want more information about your campaign, James Turner, in IPS District 3, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to Facebook, James Turner for District 3 at Facebook, or JT for District 3 on Twitter. Just call me.
And Kelly Bentley, if people want more information about your campaign in IPS District 3, how do they get a hold of you?
BentleyForIPS.com.
And Samantha Dare White, if people want more information about your campaign, IPS District 3, how do they get a hold of you?
Samantha Dare-White for IPS School Board. Phone number 294-7738.
They are the candidates in the North Side District 3. Samantha Dare White, Kelly Bentley, and James Turner. Guys, thanks very much. After the break, the candidates for District 5 on the West Side. They'll be here. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.